If you'd like to extend a Christian greeting this morning and a welcome and a blessing to each one that is here this morning. It's been good to be here ready this morning. Donnie started off this morning with reminding us of the season that we're approaching and drawing close to. And Brother Jason reminded us of the peace that we can experience by only by the Prince of Peace this morning. I must say my mind was a little drawn in different directions this week. I was pondering a message on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and thinking about Sunday before Christmas, I wasn't sure if I should preach a Christmas message. But then with the happenings of the past couple days here, with the passing of Sister Annie and the reality of the fact that we have no continuing city here, and we think about our loved ones who have gone on before, my mind was drawn simply to that heavenly city. Probably all of us here this morning, most of us, if not all of us here, have someone who was dear to us that passed from this life and have gone on before to their eternal reward. And we have the hope. We have the hope for those residing in that glorious city or country, whatever you call it, called heaven. Maybe it's a father or a mother or a spouse or a brother or a sister or grandparents, child, sibling, or a close friend. Probably all of us have a connection with somebody or parted with somebody who we have the trust and the confidence and the hope that they are residing in that wonderful country. I'd like to draw our attention this morning just simply to the country called heaven, a place called heaven. I'd like to invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 21. I'd like to read the entire chapter of 21 through the first five verses of chapter 22. John the Revelator here gives us a little glimpse, just a little glimpse of that eternal home called heaven. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of life, the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the warmongers, the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. Excuse me. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was as jasper, and the city of pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fourth sardox, the sixth sardis, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did light in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be in no wise, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22 says, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded their fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were of the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his faith, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Just a small glimpse of what our loved ones are facing, experiencing. As a country where there's no tears, there's no heartaches, a country in which there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's no death. The people that live there never get tired. They carry no burdens. They never grow old. No one ever says goodbye, for separations are unknown. There's no disappointments. There's no sin, for no one ever does anything wrong. No one ever dies. One will travel for hundreds of miles and never see a cemetery or a funeral procession. According to the measures of that city, it's about 1,500 square miles. The clothes that are worn in heaven are glistening white. No one dresses in clothes of mourning. The flowers never lose their fragrance. The leaves are always green. There's no thunderstorms, no erupting volcanoes, and no earthquakes. Upon those fair shores, there's no hurricane winds or tidal waves ever beat. There's no germs there. There's no fevers. There's no sickness, no pestilence of any kind. The sun never shines. Yet it's always lightened up. There's no night there. It is never too hot. It is never too cold. No clouds ever darken the sky or harsh winds ever blow. There's no drunkards or smokers in this country. No one ever drinks or no one ever smokes there. There's no immorality. All men as well as women are pure. Prisons and jails, homeless institutes, psychiatric wards never darken the landscape. There's no locks on the doors, the windows have no bars, no thieves and no robbers ever enter there. There's no crippled people there. There's no crippled people are seen anywhere. None are deformed or lame. There's no one blind, deaf, or dumb. Therefore, there's no need for old people's homes or children's homes or special needs homes. For everyone is well and strong. There's no wars. There's no fightings. There's no need for refugee camps. None of these are ever there. Yet you ask the question, how do we know this? Have we been there? None of us here this morning have ever had the privilege of visiting this wonderful country, which I speak of. But there's others that have gone the way before. And there's one, even Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, has lived there a long, long time. And he came here to earth. And he told us a great deal about this country. Jesus calls this country heaven. And he tells us what he's coming again. He tells us he's coming again. And he's taking us, his redeemed, home with him someday. He told us in his Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, when I think about heaven, there comes to my mind a picture of a celestial city. It's a city which has love for its law, perfection for its standard, and Jehovah for its God. It's a city with jasper for its walls, angels for its guards, and saints for its citizens. It's a city in which may be heard the glad hallelujahs of the redeemed. Oh, the wonders of heaven. The wonders of heaven. I'd like to just briefly look at a few wonders of the country called heaven. The first wonder we find there in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 to 11. It gives a description of some of the grandeur of a heaven, a place not made by hands. It's a place without grief. It's a place without graves. There's no sorrow or sin. It's a place where gates never shut, no night there, just one eternal day. It's a place of incomparable beauty. You know, earthly scenes, earthly poetry, they may try to describe in words. But heaven is so wonderfully grand that even the inspired writer Paul could not pen in earthly language. He says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Incomprehensible to the human mind. Again, the words there where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Who can even imagine or describe the beauties of a heavenly mansion fresh from the hands of our Savior? Heaven's a place entirely free from pain. There's no aching limbs, there's no darting pains, there's no swelling tongues, there's no sinking of eyes. It's a place without cradles or coffins. It's without marriage or without mournings. And that's hard for us to imagine. Luke chapter 20, verse 35 and 36 tells us, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God. So the wonder of heaven is such a place could ever be. The second one is the equality of the inhabitants there. Now we think about the inequalities of life. We have the rich and the poor. We have the learned and the illiterate. We have the sick and the well. We have the young and the old. We have the favored and the oppressed. But in heaven, the rich and the poor shall sit side by side, each robed in spotless white. Luke tells us in chapter 13, verse 29, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. In that glorious day, when all God's children are called home, they will be there from all quarters of the earth. All those who have met the conditions of salvation have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Throughout the whole world will be there. All of God's children are heirs of heaven. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 tells us, and if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together in heaven. In heaven, that poor widow who toiled in the quiet hours of the night to make a living, she'll have her full inheritance. The aged man and woman, tottering with uncertain steps toward the end of his journey, will find that heaven, none will grow old. The third wonder of heaven is simply that its inhabitants, the inhabitants of heaven, are interested in this sin-cursed world. Why should God of heaven, be interested in you and I? Not just you and I, but the whole nation, the whole world. You know, it's comforting to know that God seeks after us as a shepherd. He seeks after us as a shepherd who seeks for his lost sheep, or seeks after us as a woman seeking after her lost coin. He's concerned. He's concerned about every man and woman and child who ever lived and who's currently living on the face of this earth. He's concerned that everyone repents, and he promises the knowledge of truth through repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Luke 15, verse 10 tells us, "There is joy in the presence of the angels. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repentance." The inhabitants of heaven, those who are in heaven, are very interested in us in this sin-cursed world. The fourth wonder of heaven is simply that it's open to foreign immigrants. The wonder is that the wonder is that saved sinners, every one of us. One day, we were sinners and we're saved, and he values us. His heart, the great heart of God, invites us to become citizens of this celestial city. Jesus came to this earth as a foreign immigration agent, not only to tell us of this place, but he showed us how to live so we can enter into this country. He not just tells us how to live, but he made arrangements that we can enter into this place. You know, if you ever want to enter another country, there's arrangements need to be made. Proper documents are needed. But the Bible is God's inspired letter to inform us about the great city, and tell us how to get there so that we can be inhabitants there someday. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." This world in which we're living is not our permanent home. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 says, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." Matthew chapter 11 talks about we're strangers and pilgrims. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 tells us not to lay up ourselves treasures on this earth, but to lay treasures in heaven. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." The fifth wonder is the condition of citizenship. Jesus is relating the story of the marriage supper there in Matthew chapter 22. He tells of the man who sat there at the wedding feast and didn't have the wedding garment on. "The king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He wasn't prepared. He wasn't clothed for this great country. The sixth wonder of heaven is simply the fact that its splendor will remain forever unchanged. It will forever be unchanged. Earth's great cities don't last. Where is Rome with her ancient city? Where is Babylon with her hanging gardens? Where is Athens with all her learnings? All these cities have faded. Like the beauty of a plucked rose, everything that this world has to offer will pass away. But heaven is an abiding city. Its glories never fade. The story goes of a little girl who had been blind from birth, and she underwent surgery. She had surgery. The surgery was a success, and when the last bandage was removed from her eyes, the child was able to see for the first time. For the first time, she ran into the arms of her mother. Then she ran to the window, and she looked out through the window. And as her eyes took in the beauties of Europe, she screamed with excitement. She said, "Oh, mother, why did you never tell me? It was so beautiful." The mother wiped away her tears of joy and replied, My precious child, I tried to tell you, but I couldn't put it into words." One day, when God's children go sweeping through the gates of pearl and they catch their first vision of that heavenly city, possibly what will you running to the Apostle Paul and ask him, "John, why didn't you tell us it's so beautiful?" John's answer is simply Revelation 22, where he says, "There shall be no night there, no need of a candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Possibly John will tell us, "I didn't have words to describe this beautiful city." The hymn writer says, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." And then the seventh wonder of heaven is maybe a little different wonder. And the wonder is, why not more people prepare to make their home there? When you think how quickly time is passing, that we cannot stay here always, when we think about the heartaches and the sorrows and the disappointments, it's a wonder that more don't hasten to prepare for that eternal home, where there's happiness and joy abiding forever. Our friends, this morning, what are we doing? What are you doing to help folks find citizenship in this country? Another story I read, just simply going to read it how it states here. Say, some years ago, Dr. Charles Fuller announced that he would speak the next Sunday on heaven. During that week, a beautiful letter was received from an old man who was very ill. And the following paragraphs are part of that letter. It says, "Next Sunday, you're to talk about heaven. I'm interested in that land because I've held a clear title for a bit of property there for over 55 years. I didn't buy it. It was given to me without money and without price. The donor purchased it for me. It was through a tremendous sacrifice. I'm not holding it for speculation since the title is not transferable. It's not a vacant lot. For more than half a century, I have been sending materials out of which the great architect and builder of the universe has been building a home for me, which will never need to be repaired because it will suit me perfectly, individually, and will never grow old. Termites can never undermine its foundations, for they rest upon the rock of ages. Fire can never destroy it, and floods cannot wash it away. No locks, no bolts will ever be placed upon its doors, for no vicious person can ever enter that land where my dwelling stands, now almost completed and almost ready for me to enter in. There is a valley of deep shadows between the place where I live in California and that to which I shall journey in a very short time. I cannot reach my home in that city of God without passing through this dark valley of shadows. But I'm not afraid, because the best friend I ever had went through the same valley long ago and drove away all its gloom. He has stuck with me through thick and thin since we first became acquainted 55 years ago, and I hold his promise in printed form never to forsake me nor to leave me alone. Mr. Fuller, I hope to hear your sermon on heaven next Sunday, but I have no assurance that I will be able to do that. My ticket to heaven has no date marked for the journey. There is no return coupon. Yes, I am ready to go, and I may not be here while you're talking next Sunday, but I shall meet you there someday." Heaven. Heaven will be our eternal reward. Think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Think of taking a hold of the hand and finding it God's hand. Think of breathing in new air and finding it celestial air. Think of feeling invigorated and finding it immortality. Think of passing from storm and tempest to the unknown calm. Think of waking up and finding it home. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also."